Okay, I've got James Farrell, Judy Good, Bart Jarrett, Chris Oppitz, John Snyder, and Nancy Powers scheduled to speak. If they're here, if they come up here and take their place at the podium, I thought we'd just present the service owners first and then followed by the two industry speakers. One of them will be Phil Rio, one of them will be Jason Webb. I certainly advance, but I don't intend to be rude, but I want to keep a strict time limit just because we have a lot of people in this meeting and a lot of people here have the other places when this meeting's over today.
Four warnings were on.
Your piece and take the name, sir?
James Farrell.
Okay, yes, I'm thank you.
My name is James Farrell. Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is James Farrell. My wife and I live on a farm in Ulster County, which we purchased in 1992 as a summer retreat and have resided there full-time since I retired in 2005. When we first purchased our farm, it was a 1940s vintage operating natural gas well on the property, which is well number 3 on your maps. It is located in a forested part of the property. Access with all servicing is rarely noticed or disruptive. Well tenders use an unmarked, unimproved secondary state road. The well is somewhat buffered and camouflaged by the intact natural surroundings. From the homeowner's point, it is a reasonable incursion and does not significantly detract from the use, purpose, or visual beauty of the residence or farm. Furthermore, the conventional thinking of real estate professionals 15 years ago was the presence of the well to prove the chances that the gas company was done with your land. The gas well company and I were living in total harmony until the summer of 2006. That is when I observed some unmarked pickup trucks parked in the area of what is well number 1 on your maps. Walking into the woods, I found a team of men walking about on our posted property. Upon challenging them, I was told they were a survey team for a gas company researching sites for new wells. I asked to see a work order or any other paperwork to validate their story. They had none. I instructed them if they were to return to simply knock on my door, let me know they would be walking about my property. Also to bring some verification or authorization as to what they were doing on my property. A few days later, the situation repeated itself. I challenged them again, and again I was refused any documentation that this was a legitimate trespass. Every time I stopped someone on my property, no one would show me any documents, permits, or work orders, which only reinforced my opinion that everyone was still in the research and study phase and nothing was progressing. Even later on, especially during the drilling of the two new wells and the installation of collecting lines, the majority of contractors were without identification and uniforms roamed our property at will. Some, especially those from out of state, drove and parked anywhere they pleased, which included my hayfield and driveway. On November 15, 2006, a landsman came to the house to capture water samples. At this meeting, for the first time, I was verbally informed that the gas company was more than interested or researching the drilling of the gas well, and there would then probably be two wells. I informed the landsman that I had not yet received my copy of the permit, and having not received the permit, I did not learn until much later that the gas company should have tested my sprays used by livestock, which they did not. 2 weeks later, I came home one evening to find construction equipment bulldozing our property. I stopped the contractor, and again, I was forced to introduce myself on my own property and challenge him why he is here. Again, no one could produce any work order or permit. I went out of my way the next day to inform the gas company by phone, email, and in person that I had not received the permit. Notifying the gas company is certainly not my responsibility. Eventually, the dozer continued to clear the land because he had a verbal order to disregard my interference. In fact, I believe I was eventually retaliated against by the contractor, who placed all the timber from the job as far from the easy access to the paved road as possible, followed by his building of a drainage ditch that could not be crossed except by heavy-duty tracked equipment at additional cost to me. On December 8, 2006, after the well site was already cleared, a copy of the WW2A permit dated September 7th was hand-delivered 3 months late to my residence, which is approximately 800 feet from the well. The survey team, the landsmen, the independent forester, the dozer operators, the water sampler, the environmental study personnel, had absolutely no trouble finding my place of residence. The only office that could not find us was the gas company's permit office. suggestions of the well sites is that they are located at the most logical future home building sites. The areas along the paved road already includes land gradable to what you would call West Virginia level, includes public water, electric, and phone service.
That's about 37.
Our request is that the well be moved further from the paved road to the area indicated by the blue dots in your maps to allow for a visual buffer for the existing residents. In addition, the possibility of future development to economically protect my wife after I pass away. From an environmental standpoint, an objective to sediment control plan, simple for well number one, is in your handout. Even to myself, a layperson, I find them crude, oversimplified, and obviously open to interpretation as the finished product differs from the plan. They also fail to include to what point the site will be daylighted or clear cut. Trees and other soil.
We have the picture off. I apologize. It goes by passion receipt. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. Will the next speaker state their name and make their presentation, please?
My name is Judy Good, and my husband, Rick Orto, and Arden and I bought 48 and a half acres in Rosen, California, and we were not aware that a gas company might have been trying to have the right to come on our property. We initially planned to build, and we might still build, an earthworm home. After buying our property, we had it surveyed. We put in a half a mile of improved road and another half a mile unimproved in that it just needs gravel. We fenced our land. We go up there and enjoy it. We take our dog and cat on day trips on a maintenance basis and enjoy our land. I like going up in the spring and hunting mushrooms, and we just enjoy our land. And if nothing else, we intend to enjoy it for the rest of our lives. And having a gas or oil well on our property definitely leaves it with no value to us whatsoever. I've done a lot of reading and a lot of research on some companies spray right away. That in and of itself, I completely can't tolerate. We've had two companies come on our land without our permission. One day we went up there 2 springs ago, and there were holes drilled in our land. There were survey markers all over the place. We called a neighbor upon coming home. And he said, "Oh, you don't have to worry about that. That was a company. They just came and set off dynamite. They were searching for oil, but they probably won't drill on your land." I just don't know how you can do that on someone's land without having permission. Another company contacted us, a company called Blue Light Energy, and they wanted to put a right-of-way line for our property. And we talked to him and we discussed it with him, and they were a company that came on our land and surveyed without our permission, and or marked where they wanted surveyed, I guess. And this company, when we told, wrote them a letter and told them no, they were not going to use our land. They wouldn't even pick up the certified letter from the post office or from their P.O. box, wherever it was presented. And I guess our land really has no value to us whatsoever if someone is able to come in and do as they please on our land. Our neighbors allowed that company to put a right-of-way on their land, and they did not even use a setback. They on a very steep hillside where we have a fence, they cut in probably half of that right-of-way down our hill. They cut right to our fence line. They did not see. They did no erosion control. They put in no water breakers. They cut through the geofabric on our land, on our road. They didn't put the geofabric back. They didn't put the gravel back. They disrupted the creek. They didn't rearrange the creek flow when they were finished. They just left it in a mess. And my husband actually works for a gas pipeline company, and he's well aware of the requirements and standards for putting the land back and preventing erosion, and there's a significant amount of erosion, you know, within a foot or two of our property that will need to be remediated, probably at our expense unless we sue the gas company. And I just think that the gas companies have very little regard for the service owners. And that's why we're part of the Floral Group, and that's why we're working to preserve preserve, you know, our land.
Thank you, Ms. Good.
My name is Chris Brokis. I'm from Rich County. I'm a landowner. I've got some pictures of the well site before and after, show how it's turned out. When it first got off my land, I was never notified that anybody was even going to be drilling. Some guy just showed up on a four-wheeler and said he was going to survey my land. And I said, well, I asked him for any paperwork, and he said, well, we're going to do it anyway, whether you like it or not. You know, since you have no mineral rights, you're just a landowner, they're going to drill whether you like it or not. So they, I opened up the gate, went out there, told him to show me where he's going to drill. And we went up there, looked at the land and everything, and he got his GPS out and showed me exactly where the well was going to be. So I said, well, my son plans on building a house right here. And his attitude was, well, I guess your son ain't building a house no more, is he? It was kind of rude not going to get off my land when he was done and I notified. I never got any notice saying that they were going to drill on my land until the following week after the surveyor already showed up. But I told him, you know, do what you have to do, and we'll talk about this later. I said, I'm not signing nothing. They tried to get me settled for $2,000 for all damages. And there's a half a mile road going through the middle of my property, which is 50 acres. Cut down a lot of timber. My kids used to go four-wheel riding up there, and now it's just nothing but a muddy road going up there. They will not gravel the road or anything. And it's within 1,000 feet of my water house well. Plus, there's three springs up there where the well site was, which no longer flow. And pretty much, you know, they just told me I had no right. Since I had no mineral rights, they were going to do what they wanted to. We'll talk about it later. And, you know, just more or less, you know, just trying to find, figure out what I can do. I was supposed to be an American where I have rights to own land, but it seems like you don't have any rights to your land unless you have rights and minerals. They just come in and do what they want. And I have other pictures of the land, how it used to look nice. You know, I had trails set up for my daughter to go riding and everything. And, well, there's no more trails. It's just all, if you look at the main highway going up through here, in some spots anywhere from 40 to 75 feet wide. You know, pretty much upset with the gas and oil company. And I still haven't been talked to about any settlement. I've left estimates of what I wanted. They will not return my calls. You know, I'm just trying to figure out what I can do. And I've been talking with David Mann and members of the Sorrow Group. And they asked me to come and express my opinion of what's being done and show some pictures. And just trying to figure out what's going on and if there's any way I can do anything about it.
Thank you.
For something else.
My name is Mark Garrett, and I'm from Jackson County, and I'm here on behalf of myself and some concerned citizens of Ripley, where a gas well was drilled by Independence in the city of Evans. We, the concerned citizens, are adjacent to the property and do owe the mineral rights of the adjacent property, where he was never notified about well being drilled. Some of the people with water wells were not notified. Just a lot of the chaos and stuff that happened in the city limits by an independent that chose or had chosen to drill this well. We still yet have not been notified. I didn't realize there's any type of law or thing about right of capture. I figured when you own the mineral rights, if anybody drills and extracts gas off of your property, that you are entitled to at least notification of what may be going on. So I'm just here to let y'all know about how I feel about it and some of the rules and regulations that exist on that, and there would be a good thing maybe to look into to see if we can adapt some type of new policy as far as, you know, landowners go that do have mineral rights. And, you know, in town, there are several of us. They're just, you know how houses are in town, different things. They're real close. And there's several of us that own the mineral rights that the gas is being extracted from our properties, and we're not being compensated, or we have no right to anything at all with that.
Thank you.
Next speaker.
My name is John Snyder. I'm a member of the West Virginia Farm Bureau. I'm a West Virginia tree farmer, and I'm a Vietnam veteran. 2006, an independent driller came on my property and decided to put his well where my son wanted to build a house. I've got a daughter and a son, wanted to do you, and I can't afford $200 an hour lawyer. I work for a living. My wife is a homemaker. I think some people here might understand that, some people might not. After Mr. Ellen's notification, I am in the process of trying to get arbitration on my damage settlement. I've been in that process since September 1st, when the driller offered to pay me $2,640.07 for timber damage and surface disturbance on 4.5 acres of property that they used when they were doing the well. That figures out to $586.68 an acre. In researching what I think the arbitration panel needs to see, I find that my neighbor sold a 2-acre lot for $15,000. And I found out the state of West Virginia, my neighbor, who owns the Wallback Wildlife Management, paid no property taxes in Remington County, was the beneficiary of a check for $26,329 for the disturbance of 6.19 acres for the relocation of a gas line or gathering line to Chesapeake Energy. What I want to know is the legislature going to address this disparity of treatment between what is offered to the landowners and what the state of West Virginia receives. Here's 2.5 years of my wife and my life. That's for you, Mr. Chairman. You said as you will. I just think we have a very inequitable system here right now. We've got the state of West Virginia and the DNR with a set of guidelines that they use for all surface disturbances, drilling and or pipelines when the gas companies come on their land. That is a big secret. Nobody, the surface owners of like us, are not allowed to use it unless they happen to adjoin the wildlife management area and get some friendly toilet help. So in your deliberations, I think we should have some way to access what the DNR is coming up with and negotiating with the drillers. And yet we are not privy to that same information as citizens of the state who pay the salaries of the DNR, who elect the legislators to their jobs, and who are having to bear the brunt on our surface for the drilling. Because my son and my daughter are both studying engineering at WVU. And they both plan to build houses there. And you know the infrastructure in West Virginia takes a long time. Well, in 2005, we finally got a water line up through there so I could start to build the houses. But the driller proceeded to destroy my gas line, my water line, and the ditch I had for underground power from Appalachian Power. And yet, it's only worth $2,640, but the state can get $26,329. Something is wrong and it needs to be addressed.
Thank you, Mr. Snyder. Are there any other speakers?
Thank you.
My name is Denise Power, and I'm from Harrison County. The West Virginia Legislative Rulemaking Review Committee approved the new rule proposed by the DNR to control oil and gas drilling in state forests. The rule requires the driller to provide earlier notice to state forest officials and the public about drilling and maintenance activities in their forests. It also requires the driller to consider recreational uses, natural resources, and endangered or rare species. It allows the DNR to extend road building and other activities other than actually ongoing drilling for an inclement weather. Improved road maintenance practices are required. If these rules are needed for the protection of state forests, why do landowners not deserve the same protection? First and foremost, we're in no way trying to stop drilling in the state. We're only asking for respect and consideration when drillers come on our land. Landowners are being told, we can do what we want. There's nothing you can do about it. We, the gas companies, are too big for you to fight. At the present time, the only recourse people have is to hire a lawyer. And this is expensive, and most people can't afford it. As we all know, the crippling wealth from this being issued in recent years has brought to a head the need to update our laws to protect surface owners. Changes are needed to ensure good stewardship of the land and more economic fairness to taxpayers in West Virginia. Little was done in the 40s and 50s to protect our environment from devastation from terrible strip mining. We're paying the price resulting from poor planning relating to the strip mining issues. I look at my windows every morning and see one beautiful land that was destroyed in order to extract minerals for huge profits without any cost for the future. There were very limited requirements regarding reclamation. Let's not allow that with the oil and gas industry. I realize the county does receive much needed tax revenues from the oil and gas industry. However, this should not allow them to exploit the landowners with very little compensation for damages to their land. Passing of the Surface Owners Bill of Rights will in no way decrease the amount of money the counties receive. I personally found it frustrating and expensive to have bought property in Harrison County, cleared land, made a road into the property for a house, only to come out when you need to find survey space in the foundation layout. Yes, it's legal under the current law, but does that make it right? Paul Fulton of Dominion Gas was quoted in the Greenwire, which is the leader in energy and environmental news, was saying, there is not anything out of the ordinary going on, considering the amount of drilling taking place by Dominion and other companies. A vital part of the process is working with the landowner to listen to concerns, to talk about the process and make sure when the well is completed, the landowner is satisfied with what is being done. Well, I think the representative I talked to is that way. If Mr. Fulton truly feels this way, Dominion and all other gas companies doing business in West Virginia will be in support of this bill. I've heard the rumors that companies will leave the state if this bill passes. Do we really want them doing business in our state if they don't treat landowners fairly and protect our environment? Let them go. Let a responsible company drill as well. The bill will aid surface owners in having their rights recognized and respected for oil and gas drillers. I received a letter in December the 5th at 6 from a survey company indicating they would be out in a few days to survey for 2 wells on our property. We've soon found survey stakes and ribbons over most of our 400 plus acres. We have a campground where various activities were held annually, such as charity horseback rides, we did motocross, and other events. Due to all the markers and stakes, all but 07 schedules had to be canceled at the last minute. However, we cannot find out any information regarding what the markers indicated, when the drilling would take place, or where access roads and pipelines would be located. Only when we received a permit notice 15 days before they planned to come onto the property to drill, did we learn an access road location. One that would take a 100-foot wide path through the middle of our property, 1 1/4 miles. However, the dozer operator had trouble understanding it too. He took an extra 1/2 mile. This is much more than was necessary. When we asked the representative from the gas company to come out and sit down with us and discuss the planned project, he refused. This reason, you pick on me. I guess if asking for honest answers, a detail to the project is picking on him. Yes, I'm guilty. The permit gave great detail of a couple of acres around the well site, but no consideration of plans to protect the lake 150 foot directly below the well site. Only after they began clearing land in a weekend of rain did the DEP agree there was definitely a need for a soil erosion barrier between the well site and the lake.
Won't they have a strong opinion yet?
They have about 45 seconds.
However much irreparable damage has already done, they enter their land at number 2907 and remain until June of age. There are two wells and they might make most of our property unaccessible without even with a four-wheel drive tractor due to heavy trucks and equipment necessary for the drilling process. To give you an idea of the magnitude of the disturbance, their well field to maintain their road passable ran over $1 million. If we could have had some input into the access road and the shorter road, shorter route with less disturbance could have been used. But we were told we can do what we want.